Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
We continue with our series, State of the Arts in Los Angeles, in which we look at theater, museums, movie production, musical performances. When are they returning to stages and under what conditions? Today, our focus is on live theater here in Southern California. And I'm so pleased to have such a terrific panel that's joining us. Megan Pressman, who is the managing director and CEO of Center Theater Group, which operates, of course, the Amundsen, the Taper, and the Douglas Theaters. We also have with us from Orange County, the managing director and co-CEO of South Coast Repertory, Paula Tomai. We're so pleased to have with us from the Roby Theater Company, the co-founder, CEO, and producing artistic director of the Roby, Ben Guillory. The Roby's an African-American theater arts organization and part of the Los Angeles Theater Center in downtown Los Angeles. And also very pleased to have with us from the Geffen Playhouse in Westwood, executive director Gil Cates Jr. I had the pleasure of interviewing his father on so many times about earlier years at the Geffen in Westwood. Thank you all so much for joining us. Megan Pressman, let me begin with you, because yours is the largest of the operations here. What sorts of logistical challenges do you face with hiring and COVID protocols and everything, even when you get the word that you are able to return to live onstage productions?
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be on. What a way to join, though. That's the tough question. I appreciate the chance to speak to it, though.
Yeah.
It's kind of where we're thinking all the time. Right now, with the projects we're doing, which are kind of digital filmed work and some performances out and about in LA, COVID protocols are costing anywhere from 25 to 30% above and beyond our typical budget. So that's only going to get greater, we know, when we get back into the rehearsal room and the theater. So we're trying to figure out how to calculate those without guidelines yet, which is part of the trouble that we're having in trying to imagine reopening, is not quite sure what to plan for in terms of artist and audience safety and protocol. But it's before we even get there, the timeline issue is really tricky for us. You know, we laid off, unfortunately, about 100 folks of our full-time staff, in addition to a couple hundred people who work on a show-by-show basis. And while we hope to be able to rehire as many of the folks who we laid off as we can, we know a lot of those folks have moved on to other jobs. Many have moved. This is a very typical pandemic story right now. So when we think about hiring timelines, we're looking at anywhere from 12 to 20 weeks to rehire positions. And right now, our projection is between now and, say, the kind of full opening of the theaters in a 6 to 9 month range, we're looking at hiring upwards of 80, 90 positions.
6 to 9 months. So, you know, I was sort of thinking that maybe September, when a typical fall season for a theater or other arts organizations and rolls around, that you might be ready. But that sounds like that's going to be tough to meet.
It will be tough, but we're going to do a rolling basis as much as we can. So that 6 to 9 months includes, you know, we have three major venues. To open them all in the same month might be too heavy a lift for anybody, right? It's difficult to give each attention and each group of workers the attention they need to support reopening. So we hope to roll out the theaters in a way that makes sense.
You know, I follow what goes on in Las Vegas with their live productions, and their performing arts center, you know, isn't up at this point, of course, but they are doing distanced, smaller productions using larger rooms where people can be distanced, things like that. If that can be done in Las Vegas, which to my knowledge doesn't have a lower rate of COVID-19 than the greater Los Angeles area, why can't theater here you know, particularly in a larger venue, let's say the Amundsen, where you use social distancing, why are you not allowed to do that?
You know, it's a great question. I think we are just on the list of folks who will get those guidelines at some point. Hopefully, we've heard sooner rather than later. I think right now we don't have them yet, which is why it is restrictively shut down. People have to be really thoughtful about how we do this safely. I think we will soon see some opportunities at earlier tiers for our theaters to reopen under some reduced capacity. So we, you know, contrary to some Las Vegas theaters and, you know, some folks on Broadway like Hamilton, their cost structures are really different and they might be able to afford opening at severe reduced audience rates. And we're not seeing that as easily feasible for us.
Okay. That you just, the costs would so outstrip what you could collect in ticket revenue that you couldn't sustain that yet.
No, not in a long-term sense. Are we willing to do it as a reopening tool? Absolutely looking at that, of course.
All right. We're talking with the CEO and Managing Director of Center Theater Group in Los Angeles, Megan Pressman. Also joining me, Ben Guillory, co-founder, CEO, Producing Artistic Director of the Roby Theater Company, which stages its productions at the L.A. Theater Center downtown. Mr. Guillory, thank you for being with us. What sort of a timeline are you looking at for your production entity?
Well, thanks for having me, Larry, and it's great to be on with Paula and Megan and Gil, because we're all, of course, part of the theater community here in Los Angeles. Timeline. Well, at first, I had thought, yes, spring, September, but because of all of the variables and the changing landscape because of COVID and now the vaccine, I'm not sure. I'm simply not sure. I speculate that by January, hopefully, we will be able to produce theater in the traditional manner. I hope. But there is so much that can change. So much has changed. We now are preparing in a way that we are developing new work. Our Playwrights Laboratory is developing new work. We have 12 playwrights that we work with, commissioning new work so that when the time comes, we are ready to produce original new work, which is what we do. The Roby Theater Company. Roby was Paul Robeson's athletic nickname, and he's the inspiration for the Roby.
I wondered about that. That's very nice to hear. What about the LA Theater Center itself? To your knowledge, is it being outfitted with the kinds of filters and other things necessary to be able to welcome people back to indoor performances?
The Latino Theater Company, which is the host theater of the city-owned property, the Los Angeles Theater Center, is working on all of that. But remember, there are five theaters in the Los Angeles Theater Center, three Lord Houses and two Black Boxes. We operate out of the Black Box, the Roby Theater Company does, out of the Black Box, which is about 70 to 80 seats, depending on the demands of the set. And so, and of course, like most nonprofits, we get a lion's share of our budget through public funding.
Yeah.
Our box office, if we needed to depend on our box office, well, that wouldn't work well.
We're talking with Ben Guillory of the Roby Theater Company. Also joining us, the managing director and co-CEO of South Coast Repertory in Costa Mesa, Paula Tomei. Ms. Tomei, good to have you with us. What's going on right now with South Coast Rep in preparation for reopening later this year?
Well, first, thank you, Larry, for having me on, and I'm so happy to be on with three colleagues who, you know, we're all experiencing all of this together and learning from each other throughout it. At South Coast Rep right now, like most, we are remote. And this moment of digital has been the way to stay connected with audiences. At this moment, we are actually getting ready to film a Theater for Young Audiences production of a two-person Red Riding Hood by Alison Gregory, which the reason we're doing it is so that we can stream it to schools in Orange County, because typically we bring in about 10,000 kids from across the county to see live theater about throughout the season in a theater fan audiences series. So the schools are also losing a lot around arts education and anything artistic to offer to the students. And so this was one of the moments we decided to take, and our board decided to take, to connect with the schools. The Pacific Playwrights Festival, which is typically held in April over a weekend and involves 5 new play readings and 2 full productions, is also going virtual with play readings, 5 play readings of new plays that will be distributed from April through June. And it will also be recorded. Now, this is, you know, that moment where we're not a film company, but we are hiring a film crew mm-hmm. to get the best quality out of these moments, which are, it's challenging to do everything on Zoom and to actually come across. So we're hopeful that those will keep our audiences connected in that way. And as has been mentioned by Megan, the protocols to do this have been extremely expensive and required by the union, the Actors Equity Association, of course, to keep people safe. And that said, you know, it's not sustainable, obviously. It's too much in terms of what we can continue to do in the long term.
Just real briefly, because I need to take a break, but do you have a date in mind when you're hoping to have a first indoor production with an audience?
We are hoping that will be in the fall sometime, probably October.
All right. And I assume you have all these sorts of hiring challenges and all as well with bringing in the kinds of experienced and trained professionals in theater to do that work. That's Paula Tomei, Managing Director and Co-CEO of South Coast Repertory in Costa Mesa. We'll continue talking about the state of the arts, local theater in Los Angeles in just a couple of minutes. It's State of the Arts, our series over the next couple of weeks looking at arts and entertainment and the timeline of return to stages and other production spaces. We've been hearing from Ben Guillory, who is the co-founder, CEO, and producing artistic director of the Roby Theater Company, which is based at the LA Theater Center in downtown Los Angeles. South Coast Rep's managing director and co-CEO Paula Tomei, and Megan Pressman, who's the managing director and CEO of Center Theater Group. Their 3 venues, the Amundsen, the Taper, and the Douglas Theaters. And, you know, Megan laid this out so well because of having to lay off all these people during the time when you couldn't do any productions. What it takes to ramp back up theater production with all the professionals that you need, not to mention all the COVID-19 precautions and procedures that you need to put into place. And then there's the question, of course, to what degree will audience members feel comfortable coming back to live stage productions? With us is the executive director of the Geffen Playhouse in Westwood, Gil Cates Jr. Thank you so much, Gil. Appreciate your being with us. What sort of a timeline are you looking at the Geffen?
Of course. Thanks, Larry. And thanks for the kind words about Gil Sr. before. I've heard some of those interviews. So,
Love talking with your dad. It was just always a pleasure.
I appreciated hearing that. And it's great to be here with my fellow theater leaders. You know, it's interesting. There's the timeline, and then there's the issue which you just mentioned, which Megan brought up too, about laying off. The Geffen, we actually took... We kind of jumped in and did a little bit of an opposite approach, took a little bit of a chance, and started something that we hope to keep most of our employees working. And I'm, you know, Matt Shackman, the artistic director, my partner and I are really, you know, proud of the fact that we've been able to keep about 80 to 85% of our staff employed through our Geffen Stayhouse series. And that started May of 2020, where we've been doing live interactive shows. We announced another one today. That does not carry over to budget the theater for, you know, in a big way. And it's funny, in a way, we're almost like, we wanna go sooner to be able to keep everybody working and to keep the staff engaged, to keep the audience engaged, to keep the, you know, the donors engaged. So it's like a similar outlook with a slightly different approach, and there's no wrong approach.
Yeah.
To anything. It's just the approach that the Geffen took in terms of when we hope to open. We hope to open this fall. You know, it's ironic. It's the codes and regulations that we follow, and I think Megan and everyone here will agree, from Equity and our other union partners, and in our case, UCLA, who actually owns the building, even though they don't, you know, run the theater, there are partners there. I would say our requirements, you know, what we're doing to our HVAC system, our testing, our screening, our PPE, are, I would confidently say, safer today than probably movie theaters, which, and other dining and other things. So it's an interesting, what we want to do right now as a community and as an organization is help inform political leadership and otherwise what we're working with and what we're working against, so they can make the best decision and understand how much we are adhering and trying to prepare and exceed, you know, how we're able to open. So it's an interesting...
I think we just lost there. We'll try and get back Gil Cates Jr., the executive director of the Geffen Playhouse in Westwood. In the meantime, let me take a call from Susan Loewenberg of LA Theater Works, which she founded and has been leading for decades. Susan, thank you for being with us. You have a survey of your audience that you conducted. Is that right?
We do. And Larry, thank you so much for saying just a decade. Unfortunately, it's been about 40 years.
I thought I said decades, plural, but I wasn't trying to shortchange you. I know it's more than 10 years.
But anyway, yes, we just completed a survey. Interestingly enough, 75% of the responses were comfortable coming back by January, and 45% of the responses were comfortable coming back in September.
That's terrific. So are you thinking seriously of having in-person performances by September?
Well, we are subject to whatever UCLA decides, because we are at the James Bridges Theater at UCLA. And so it really depends on them when they are comfortable opening. The kids are going to be back in school, some of them, according to UCLA, probably in the fall. But whether or not they decide to open the James Bridges or any of the other theaters is really up to them. So,
but if they open, you'd be ready to go?
We're ready to go if they're ready to go.
Susan, thank you so much, and we sure hope that that happens sooner rather than later. Also with us from the International City Theater in Long Beach, Karen, thank you very much. What are you doing looking forward to in-person performances?
Well, I'll tell you that we started planning in December 2020 and January 2021 and laid out a whole socially distancing seating plan so we would be ready. No one expected it was going to take this long, and you know, making sure we have masks and sanitizers and all those things. Our theater looks like the Mark Taper Forum, but my contract with Equity doesn't allow us to use all those seats. But if we're doing socially distanced, skipping rows and seats, then we can, you know, maybe not do as many seats as we normally could, but keep us going. And we had hoped, you know, we are, you know, like many of the theaters, we're doing virtual programming for our main stage. And even some of our education, we have the third grade in-school program where they write plays, and, you know, and we're still able to do that online, because we have six education programs. But we were hoping, you know, because we work on a calendar year, so we were hoping that we could do the August-September show live and October-November show live. But I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you raised this. This is Karen Desai, by the way, of International City Theater in Long Beach. You bring up this issue of the calendar and the planning, because I know for theaters like yours, where you have loyal, you know, people and some subscribe to the productions and all, you really count on that. And that's a huge issue. Karen, let me just go back to Gil Cates Jr. at the Geffen. I think we got that connection straightened out. Gil, just real quickly, you have a subscription series. You have, you know, regular subscribers. what do you do if you can't plan that you're going to have a subscription season?
First of all, I apologize for a rookie cell phone to computer airwave mistake.
No problem.
That's part of the key is like how we are, the shows that we are going to put up, you know, if you look at the recent, which I like to think it's going to change. And that's what I was just starting to say before about informing leaders. So they really understand what we're doing and then they can make the best decision possible. And then we'll be good with it. We just want to make sure they know, because if you looked at, you know, equity and other, you know, rules, they're very, you know, in a good way, they're very strong. And I think, but to go back to your question about, I think that you, if we were looking at the way it is today, which is, you know, no shows can happen indoors, you know, until tiers are, there aren't even tiers, which again, I know at the Geffen, we have a hard time with that concept, knowing what else is open and opening.
Yeah.
But we will be, we will make smart choices in terms of what we program, how, what the budget is of, you know, our first show compared to the different capacity limits that we might learn about in the coming months. And at the same time, be prepared to, you know, keep the Stay House series going and other things, because I think the most important thing is the engagement.
I appreciate it, Gil. Sorry I'm out of time. Megan, Ben, Paula, thank you all so much. Susan and Karen for calling in as well on Air Talk.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.